2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we make our way through the Baptist Faith and Message, we come to the topic of education. Article 12 says, Christianity is the faith of enlightenment and intelligence. In Jesus Christ abide all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All sound learning is, therefore, a part of our Christian heritage. The new birth opens all human faculties and creates a thirst for knowledge. Moreover, the cause of education in the kingdom of Christ is coordinate with the causes of missions and general benevolence and should receive, along with these, the liberal support of the churches. An adequate system of Christian education is necessary to a complete spiritual program for Christ's people. In Christian education, there should be a proper balance between academic freedom and academic responsibility. Freedom in any orderly relationship of human life is always limited and never absolute. The freedom of a teacher in a Christian school, college, or seminary is limited by the preeminence of Jesus Christ, by the authoritative nature of the Scriptures, and by the distinct purpose for which the school exists. When we talk about Christian education, we're talking about education with a clearly Christian worldview. When we talk about Christian education, the issue is how it relates to the individual, the family, and the local church. So let's take a look at the biblical call for education. Let's take a look at that. The biblical call for education. First of all, the mandate of Christian education. The mandate of Christian education. Psalm 111 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus identified Himself as truth incarnate. And Paul declared in Colossians 2:3 that in Him, referring to Jesus Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in Christ. Any educational system which is not rooted and grounded in the biblical truth about Jesus is fatally flawed. How can the truth about creation be correctly understood without accurate knowledge of the Creator? Any truth apart from Jesus is only partial truth at best. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 says it all. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, if you want to turn there in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. What's interesting about that passage of Scripture, we often read verses 16 and 17 without reading them in the context of the whole passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the latter days. It talks about, really, it describes, the verses 1 through 13 really talk about everything that we read on the front pages of the newspaper and see on the news every single day, what it will be like in the latter days. What it will be like when children rise up and resist the authority of their parents, when there's great rebellion throughout our society. Paul wrote about that 2,000 years ago, what it was going to be in the latter days, in these days in which we live in. And then, in the context of that discussion, Paul says these words, verse 14, of 2 Timothy 3, he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need a good education on God's Word. And God's Word tells us very clearly that everything that is written there, everything that is contained between the covers of this of the Bible is what we need. Everything that's written there is what we need, and everything that's written there is all we need. Because we have what we need for every situation. We have what we need for doctrine so that we can understand the truth, what we're looking at now, our doctrine, what we believe. We have what we need for, it says, for reproof. To be able to deal with situations, to be able to correct situations. But what we need for, it says, for correction. If things are wrong, we have the truth in order to measure it against to determine whether things are right or not and how they need to be changed in order to be right. And we have everything we need to know in order to walk with Jesus Christ. It says for instruction in righteousness so that we can walk the way God wants us to. Everything that we need is right there in the Scriptures. And so it's important that we learn the truth of God's Word. You know, God has expected man to seek wisdom and knowledge. In fact, and he always has throughout the ages. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, God commanded His people to learn. But not only to learn, He gave another responsibility in the command. He commanded His people to learn the truth, but He also commanded to teach what they learned to the next generation. And to the next generation. So our responsibility to learn God's Word, to become wise in the truth and knowledgeable in the truth, is not just for our benefit, because God has given us the responsibility to pass it on to the next generation, so that they learn it as well. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you've turned there, verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Here's the beginning. The beginning of our walk with the Lord, and beginning of being wise in the truth, is that we have a heart of love for God. That we love Him with every part of our being, with our strength, with our mind, with our soul. And when Jesus quotes that, Jesus adds in something else. He adds in with your heart, soul, strength, your mind as well. He adds in with your mind that we should be focused on the Lord. And He says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. We don't just read them. We take them in so that they become a part of the way that we think, the way that we feel. So that we begin to look at life from God's perspective. We begin to view life in the context of God's Word, in the context of the way that God thinks. We begin to think like God. So they'll be in your heart. And then He says this. In verse 7, He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What is that telling us? That from the moment that we get up in the morning to the moment that we go to sleep at night, the truth of God's Word should be before us, and we should be making sure that we're able to pass it on to our children by making sure that it's before them. when they're coming, when they're going. Put it on the door so when you walk in. Put it on the other side of the door so when you walk out. Put it on the gate. Everywhere you can, have the truth of God's Word before you and pass it on to your children. What a responsibility. What a responsibility. This is the biblical mandate for learning. And it goes hand in hand with the biblical mandate for Christian living and Christian service. We talk about the method of Christian education. You see, the Bible outlines how we're to go about Christian education. It's really a twofold process. The first part of it is, how do we go about Christian education? The first part of it is discipleship. It's all about discipleship. But whose responsibility is that discipleship? Is it my responsibility that you learn the truth of God's Word? No, it's your responsibility. The discipleship is the believer's personal responsibility. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wow, that we're to take our walk with the Lord and our growth in that walk so seriously that we're concerned that we get it right. That we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling it draws that picture that I really want to make sure that I get this right. I want to get it right. Because I want to get it right, I'm going to be diligent to make sure that I know what is right. Make sure that I know what it is that I'm called to do. Each of us is responsible for developing our own Christian walk. I mean, just for a moment, consider this biblical outline. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Wow, pretty good starting point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 says, "Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God." In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, the apostle says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the apostle says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Well, just take a sampling like that and laying it out there, those passages give a pretty good plan for personal discipleship. I mean, think about it. Read the Bible. Right? "Your word I'll hide in my heart." Read the Bible. Pray. So you're reading what God has to say and what His call is, and you're communicating with Him. So read the Bible, pray. Be filled with the Spirit. You know, walk in the power of grace by the Holy Spirit that God has provided for you. Think about the right things. Man, there's a lot of stuff we can think about during the course of the day. There's a lot of things that are placed before us to think about. There are a lot of things that come into our ears and come into our eyes that we can think about. But God tells us to think about the right things. Think about good things. Think about the things that have a good reputation, a good report, things that are pleasant, things that are right. Think about those things. Because if we think about those things, it'll impact the way that we speak. It'll impact the decisions that we make. And then teach each other with the right attitude. Right? with having Christ in our heart, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It says teaching and admonishing one another. So we have a right attitude because of our relationship with the Lord, because the way we're focused, and when we teach each other, when we have to maybe speak to one another about something, we do it with a right heart. We do it with a right attitude. So pretty good plan that God's Word provides for us in our own personal responsibility of discipleship. But it's our personal responsibility. We've got to, that the Bible can't just be that book that sits on a shelf or on a table or a desk or somewhere. It's got to be opened. We've got to read it. We've got to spend time in it. We've got to spend time in communication with the Father. And that's what prayer is all about. We've got to allow it to change our lives, change the way we think, change the way we act, the attitudes that we have. But it's our responsibility. And the second part of Christian education, how we go about it, is that Christian education begins at home. It begins at home. There is absolutely no question about it. According to Scripture, Christian education begins at home. It begins at home. Where mom and dad, if that's the situation, or whoever is the, if it's a single parent, or another guardian, it begins at home where those are responsible, and they are responsible for teaching their children to become followers of Jesus Christ. It's the parent's responsibility, or the guardian, whoever it is, it's the parent's responsibility to teach their children. It's their responsibility to lead them, bring them to become followers of Jesus Christ. It's not the church's responsibility. It's nobody else's responsibility. It's the responsibility of the parents. We're called to learn these things, get them in our life and our heart, and then it's our job to pass it on to the next generation. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "Only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children," listen, "and your grandchildren." The responsibility for training doesn't end as parents. We have responsibility as grandparents to impact our grandchildren's lives as well. We're to pass these things on. As grandparents, we love having our grandchildren in our home. You like them? You like having your grandchildren in your home? Yeah. Well, there's a responsibility also to seek to impact their lives. That reinforces what the parents are doing, or what they're supposed to be doing. And also we can fill in the gaps, right? If things slip a little bit. But that's all right. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Proverbs, we're not going to read it now, but Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, it teaches that children are to be instructed about God by their parents. A whole section, 10 verses in Proverbs chapter 4, focuses on parents teaching their children about God. That's where children should find out about God, should learn about God, is from their parents. And there's more of a chance, if it happens that way, there's more of a chance that the children will want to talk to you about those things as well. Because they're going to want to talk to the one that taught them. They're going to want to talk about these things and discuss these things with the one who has impacted their life with it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 tells fathers to bring up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. So Christian education begins at home. The church is not responsible for teaching your children God's Word. Matter-of-fact statement, but it's the truth. The church is not responsible for teaching your children God's Word. The church is to reinforce parental education. But the home is where children are supposed to learn how to be followers of Jesus Christ. You see, because you just got to think about just the sheer numbers. If a child comes to Sunday school and to a church worship service every week for an entire year and never missed a single Sunday, we would only have 156 hours each year to teach him or how to be a Christian. That's a lot. Well, according to surveys, the average teenager spends between 20 and 50 hours a week in front of either a television or a computer screen. That means in 3 to 4 weeks, the internet and the television programmers have just as much time as the church has with your child in a whole year. Christian education begins in the home, and God will hold parents responsible for the kind of Christian training that their children receive. We're responsible for our individual spiritual development, and we're responsible for those that we've been given responsibility of, our children, and to influence our grandchildren. So, that's where it begins. But then third, and finally, is the ministry of Christian education. The local church is God's ordained institution for the expansion of His kingdom. That's what we're here for. We're here to expand the kingdom of God, to reach out to the lost, to lead people to Christ, to bring people into the kingdom, and expand the kingdom. That's our purpose. One of the things that the local church is tasked with doing is that of discipleship. So while we're not primarily responsible, our job is to strengthen and support and encourage discipleship among Christians, and that's done in several ways. Discipleship in the kingdom of God is done, first of all, by public proclamation of God's word, proclaiming God's word, the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul tells the pastor Timothy there at Ephesus, tells him, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The responsibility is to preach the word. Preach it regularly. The primary responsibility of a pastor is to preach the word. That's the number one responsibility of a pastor, is to preach the word, to rightly divide the word of truth, so that God's people will be instructed in God's truth. That's the number one responsibility. All the other stuff comes second to that. So public proclamation of God's word is one way, and then the other is group study. Group study of God's word. You see, the teaching ministry of the church includes Bible study. You know, both expository and topical studies will take believers deeper into their walk with the Lord. Expository teaching focuses on a passage. It focuses on a passage and of Scripture, and it seeks to bring out its message. Instead of going all over the place, it goes into a passage and says, "Okay, this is what this passage means. This is what this passage of Scripture is teaching." Topical teaching works to demonstrate the Bible's overall in-depth instruction on a particular subject or topic. You know, we can look at a passage of Scripture and bring out what that's saying. Or we can look at a topic like marriage or some other topic, and then we look at what the Bible overall says about that, and we bring all the pieces of that together. That's topical study. So, and there's a need for both. There's a need for expository Bible study where you're focusing on a passage, and there's a need for topical study as well. You know, but listen, biblical education, Christian education, is never to be an end unto itself. The command to seek knowledge and understanding is geared toward making us better disciples. That's its purpose. Making us better disciples and thus better servants of God. In other words, you know, the goal of learning is to help us to become the people that God wants us to be. So that He can use us as He wants to use us. He allows us to learn so that we can teach others. You know, believers who have been taught are in turn supposed to teach others. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says exactly that. In fact, the seminary that I attended in North Carolina, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, there's a wall around the cemetery building, and there's several gates on a different side. And over one of the gates, on a big stone over at the top of the gate, it's inscribed the words to 2 Timothy 2:2, which is a great verse of scripture and motto for a seminary, but also for each one of us, and for the ministry, the teaching ministry of the church. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." You see, that's how it passes on. We learn the truth from God's Word. We teach other people that truth that we've learned, and then they, in turn, can teach other people that truth. And then it can keep going on and on and on for generations. You know, the biblical method of education is simply this. We're to learn so that we can teach others, who in turn will teach others and perpetuate that process. That's the biblical method. One of the problems of modern Christianity is that somewhere along the line, we have disassociated learning from service. I know Christians who spend their most of their Christian walk in Bible studies, in learning opportunities, and they never translate that into service. They know so much that they can teach others, but they're not teaching out of their experience. They're teaching out of the knowledge that they picked up. God gave you knowledge. He gave you wisdom. He gave you understanding. He gave you truth. He gave you insight, not simply to fill your head, but to fill your heart and to fill your hands in order to do the work of the kingdom of God. That's the ultimate aim, is that we would become faithful servants in the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 5, the apostle in verse 12 through 14, he makes it clear that we need to put into use what we learn. In Hebrews 5 verse 12, he says, "For though," listen to this, Paul's talking to a church, he's talking to a bunch of believers, many of whom think that they're pretty good. And he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you've been at this thing long enough that you should be teachers. He says, instead of that, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. And then he says, that is, and he explains what he means, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God will hold Christians accountable for what they've done with the biblical education that they've gained. So, how do I apply all these things? Well, let me just suggest there's three things. First of all, get a plan for personal discipleship. Use a daily Bible reading program. That's a place to start. So get a plan for personal discipleship. And then begin to use personal Bible studies. What the personal Bible study does is it allows you and it challenges you to begin to read the truth, but also to apply it. Because you ask questions, and as you answer those questions, you begin to take that truth and apply it to given situations. Basically, what I'm saying is seek to become a more devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is personal discipleship. Also, get intentional about your children and your grandchildren's spiritual growth. Get intentional about it. Don't leave to someone else what God is going to hold you accountable for. If something is important enough in your life that you have to do, how many times have you said, it's better to do it myself? And why do you do it yourself? Because you want to make sure it gets done, and you want to make sure that it gets done right. So you say, better to do it myself. Well, we have that attitude with so many things in life, but then we take our children and our grandchildren and we pass it off to somebody else to impact their lives for the most important thing in their lives, their relationship with God, their relationship with Jesus Christ. There we should be saying, I'd rather do it myself because I want to make sure it gets done and I want to make sure it gets done right. So get intentional about your children and your grandchildren's spiritual growth. And then finally, get involved in passing it on. What do I mean by that? There's always a need for teachers in the church. There's always a need for teachers in the church. The opportunities are there. The opportunities are there. You know, God has given you the necessary knowledge. All you need to do is take action. Get involved. That's how the church develops. That's how the church grows. When those who are in the church get up out of their pew and take responsibility and begin to do something. Get a plan for personal discipleship. Get intentional about your children and grandchildren's spiritual growth. And get involved in passing it on. Let me call you to do something, and that is to make a commitment to Christian education today.